I always look forward to our Ideas Matter segment on Friday mornings when we get to talk about the humanities. We get to talk about what is going on in our world through the eyes of our humanities councils in our region, the seven states that we cover. So this week, we learn about 98 Acres in Albany, a community history project dedicated to documenting the people displaced and the structures demolished to make way for the Nelson A. Rockefeller Empire State Plaza. This is a fascinating issue and one that I have been fascinated with for a very long time. David Hochfelder is an associate professor in the history department at the University at Albany, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable and have him be a part of our discussion this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Great pleasure. Give us an idea of how you came to this and started studying what happened when this entire project began of the Empire State Plaza.
Well, it really began a couple of years ago when we found a remarkable collection of photographs, actually two collections of photographs, one at the Albany Institute that documented every one of the roughly 1,200 structures that were demolished. And we honestly don't know who took these photographs or why, but there's a certain level of professionalism involved. The photographs have a date and time indicator and a reel and frame counter. So these were taken in the summer of 1962, and the photographer went down the block photographing every one of the structures that were to be demolished. And then the New York State Archives has a remarkable collection of photographs. When owners challenged the state's appraisal of their properties, the state would send photographers out to document the condition of the properties. And a lot of those photographs capture not just the condition of the properties, but people in their homes and places of business. So when we saw these photographs, we realized that we could, first of all, build a website that would digitally reconstruct and repopulate the neighborhood, and secondly, that we could tell stories and try and reconstruct the lives of some of the people who were displaced.
I'm sure listeners will write to me and give me a million examples, but I find it very difficult to come up with examples where an entire neighborhood is basically wiped away and this new shiny object goes in its place. I was shocked when I initially realized of not only the as you say, the 98 acres, not only how big, but also the cultural significance and the cultural significance to Albany of that particular neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I'm on safe ground when I say this is probably the biggest event in the city's history since Henry Hudson.
Yeah.
As far as the uniqueness of this, in fact, we think this is a really common occurrence in American cities in the 1950s and 1960s. There are many examples of neighborhoods of similar or even larger size that were demolished for urban renewal. The West End of Boston, Chicago's West Side for the University of Illinois Chicago campus. Chavez Ravine and Bunker Hill in Los Angeles, entire swaths of St. Louis. I mean, I could multiply these examples endlessly. So one of the reasons we're doing this project is we think this can serve as a model for researchers in other cities to reconstruct demolished neighborhoods. And I think this would give us a better perspective, a more human perspective on the cost and benefits of urban renewal. Around 1960, urban renewal was really the major tool that city officials, federal officials, planners had in dealing with the problems of American cities. So up until about 1950, the major problem confronting the leaders of American cities was how to manage growth, economic growth, population growth, and so forth. After about 1950, the major problem was how to deal with decline, losing population to the suburbs, declining economic activity, and so forth. And of course, I'm talking about the Northeast and the Midwest. So the major tool available at that time to deal with this issue of urban decline was urban renewal. And as it turned out from the vantage point of 30 or 50 years later, it was a really blunt instrument. So people may not have been aware of the costs of urban renewal when these projects were being developed, but certainly now with the hindsight that history allows us, we're aware of both the cost and benefits of these urban renewal projects.
Talk a little bit about the ethnicity of this particular area.
As far as the demographics, in 1960, the census counted about 7,000, just over 7,000 individuals and about 3,300 families. Of those 7,000 residents, over 1,000, and we don't have an exact count, but in 1963 there were over 1,000 single men, many of whom were elderly and poor and living in rooming houses on Jay, Hudson, and Lancaster streets. Mm-hmm. As far as the ethnicity, the largest ethnic group was African American at around 15% of the population. Italians made up a sizable percentage of the area at around 10 or 12%. And the rest of the ethnicity is a little hard to grapple with because the census didn't count beyond first and second generation.
As far as reconstructing this, mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, these photos have really come into a great assistance in, mm-hmm. in reconstructing and letting you know what was there. What went into how much do we know of what went into the discussions of this is what we're going to take out and why?
You mean before
the
actual demolition?
Construction, yes. Of what we're going to demolish. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, to sort of give a timeline of the planning and construction of the South Mall or Empire State Plaza, Nelson Rockefeller was elected in 1959, and he quickly decided that the state needed to do something about the scattered offices that state agencies were in around downtown Albany. And the city at the same time really opposed the building out of the uptown office campus. City officials wanted to keep state office jobs downtown quite reasonably. So the governor appointed a temporary commission on the capital city, which evaluated several ideas for a new capital city. And the idea, by the end of 1961, it was pretty clear that this was going to happen somewhere in downtown Albany. And in the spring of 1962, the state unveiled the plan for the South Mall, and on March 27th, announced the taking of this 98-acre area. At around that time, the state unveiled plans for what the South Mall would eventually look like, and there were some modifications and variations. The Egg wasn't present at first, and the Cultural Education Building, on that site, there was a Freedom Arch, which would have contained one of the copies of Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. So the final plans did change over the next few years. And then the site was cleared by 1965, and construction started soon afterward, but lasted well into the 1970s.
When you come down, for those people who are not familiar with Albany, I'll do my best to try to describe this. But what is now South Swan Street, that comes in on that, I guess, west side mm-hmm. of the plaza, Hudson Avenue, J Street, Lancaster Street, Chestnut Street. These are streets that now just end because they come down and you get very much an idea of what the neighborhood used to be like, mm-hmm. and then it stops. Mm-hmm. And then there's a new road, but okay, 1970, whatever, mm-hmm. that new. And then the building. Mm-hmm. And it is, that to me is shocking because you are in another world. You look to your right, it's much, much different than looking to your left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Albany is a wonderful 19th century city, and this is a piece of high modernist architecture that is simply, I don't know if transplanted is the right word, is stuck on top of a 19th century streetscape. And in some ways, it's very jarring.
Yeah. What was, I'm curious as to, obviously, what you hope to accomplish, and you've mentioned this a little bit, what you want to accomplish with this project, but mm-hmm. what was the immediate response, and was it always a fight?
You mean in the 1960s when this was planned? That was one of the puzzles that, as historians, we're trying to resolve. We haven't found much evidence of public opposition in 1961, 1962, 1963, and we, as a working hypothesis, we have two reasons for that. And again, this is a working hypothesis. The first is, quite honestly, the Corning O'Connell machine bred a certain political passivity in the city. And not much had really changed in Albany since the 1930s. And a lot of Albanians, quite frankly, welcomed change. And this was change on a really dramatic scale, along with the state university, of course. The second reason is we think people didn't really know what they were going to get. So when they saw plans for the neighborhood in 1962 or 1963, the public's reception of these plans was quite different than, say, from the standpoint of 1978, when it was clear that this was a $2 billion project and this is what it ultimately looked like. So we think a lot of the opposition didn't occur at the time of the taking, but sort of evolved over time as it became clear what exactly the Empire State Plaza was going to look like and how much it would cost.
I don't want to, certainly don't want this to devolve into a discussion of modern architecture. However, in looking at the buildings that were there, the New York State Education Department, the Alfred E. Smith Office Building, even what is the Albany Institute of History and Art, the Fort Orange Club, and of course the State Capitol itself. Let us not forget, have very defined, beautiful, classic architectural style. A block down, the City Hall, and as well as the cathedral. So when the plans came in, this is what I guess interests me, is there's not a lot of opposition, but man, you know, it's night and day. So and it always it seems like it's got kind of a bum rap. is that safe?
In my experience, just in casual conversation with folks, I think people either really love it or really hate it. I've met very few people who talk about the Empire State Plaza as, well, it's okay, I don't mind it. It's either, God, it's ugly, or, wow, this is a, you know, a wonderful piece of high modernist architecture, and it's great for the city. There's no middle ground, really. I find the responses to be at the extremes.
Well, I hope you'll come back. I want to talk more to you about this. We're out of time, but I really love this topic and would love to talk to you more about it. David Hochfelder is doing this incredible project. You can find out more by going to 98acresinalbany.wordpress.com, also on Twitter and Facebook, and it's an amazing project and a lot of great work being done. David Hochfelder is an associate professor in the history department at UAlbany. David, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.